Greetings and welcome to Throttle Up. This is a radio show and podcast that showcases critical thinking and complex problem solving. And it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Throttle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason, and I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. Now, I'm a naval aviator and former squadron commander and Top Gun instructor as a naval aviator. And also, I'm a pioneer in the field of some aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving, and of course, high velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So we could say that we are not ordinary thinkers, you and I, but we are different and we are out of the box thinkers. Our motto for the show is to employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. And in a nutshell, that basically means to stay out ahead of the problem. That's particularly important if we want to achieve success. Now, our mission statement for the show, and this changes a little bit from time to time, but this is a pretty good mission statement, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Now, our website, the address here is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. That's the address for the website. And before we close on our introduction, I wanted to say that our audio engineering services is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver on the west side. Highly recommend their services for anyone who wants to get involved with audio. It could be any kind of audio that you might have in mind, including music, by the way. Also, graphics artist services and media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and the gal is Jennifer. She heads up this organization, and she owns it as well. And Jennifer does a great job with all of our media support, is a fantastic graphics artist and media production specialist, and her phone number is 435-574-0422. That's 435-574-0422. And before we close the introduction, I want to say that the show is typically organized into three parts. So part one of Throttle Up is critical thinking, or an ongoing discussion of various aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving. Part two is our storyboard, and the storyboard is a story of America, or a story of Americans, story of an individual. It could be any kind of story, but it all relates to trying to get our arms around this whole thing, which we call critical thinking and complex problem solving. And then part three is our radio essay. Now, our radio essay is typically a little bit more in-depth treatment of a particular subject. We do not intend for this to be boring. But for those who would like a little bit more info on certain things that we cover in part one and part two, then part three typically is a way for us to get a little bit further into a subject matter and understand it better. Okay, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers and complex problem solvers are welcome with open arms. Welcome back to Throttle Up. After the introduction that we have, which is a, well, it's a standard introduction now that we have for the show. Anyway, welcome back. I'm Captain Kevin Smith, your host, and Throttle Up is now available on podcast format as well as on Red State Talk Radio. Now, we are on Red State Talk Radio 6 times every weekend, both channels. We also are available in podcast format. And so I guess you would say it's pretty easy to find us. And we're available, continuously available, I believe. Also, you know, Red State Talk Radio is available on some new automobile systems, entertainment systems, and I believe it's the Ford product line. But anyway, it's easy to find us. And my understanding, talking to the owner and manager of Red State Talk Radio, Scott Adams, that we're becoming increasingly popular as the months and years go on. And so that's good news for all of us, and we are all, of course, delighted to be part of Red State Talk Radio. Okay, so what about this week's show? And, you know, what I've decided to do is to also make this a special edition because I have been working in some areas recently. We're putting together a workshop to be held in Chicago in November. So we're working on a workshop that has to do with critical thinking and complex problem solving. And as I am preparing for this workshop, I have come across a number of things that I think are really important for all of us to understand. Now, having said that, I know that the right now, the news of the day is the Kavanaugh hearings and see what's going on there, and the fact that our political system is completely unhinged. I think, from my perspective, and you can use your own perspective, of course, but from my perspective, it appears to me that the Democratic Party has lost touch with reality. I'm not sure what is motivating them exactly, but having said that, let's move on to something that I think is a bit more substantive, longer lasting, and frankly, after I have examined this part of what is going on, it's a bit disturbing. And so I wanted to bring it to all of our attention as we go forward, because I do think that some of the stuff that I try to deal with, I think, is fundamentally more important to us than the 24-hour news cycle and what's hitting the headlines and what has everybody got, what's the buzz about, which doesn't last very long. But what's longer lasting? What has more meaning in our lives? And what could seriously affect us if we're not aware of what's going on? So having said that, all right, so let me get to the point of this show, right? And the point of this show has to do with, and we can give it a couple of titles here, but the point of the show is artificial intelligence and what is going on in the field of high technology and why it is important to us, because there are socioeconomic efforts underway that I think are a bit disturbing. I believe that there are efforts underway in the terms of imposing more socialism on America that is coming through the back door. And it's coming through the back door because it's hitched its ride on what I call high technology. And they're using that as a vehicle for which they want to propose to the American people. They want to propose that there is a crisis looming in front of us, and the crisis is caused, the socioeconomic crisis will be caused by advancing high technology, and that there is a solution to this looming crisis, and it comes right out of socialism. So socialism has a solution for this coming crisis, and why they keep trying this stuff on us is beyond me, but the fact is that they are. Socialism is now, or I should say that socialism and communism is trying to reinvent itself and to provide these solutions that they see as a result of some socioeconomic difficulties and disruptions caused by advancing technology, and that they have a ready-made solution for the trials and tribulations that will befall us as we move into this arena of high technology and its disruptive effects on society. So anyway, okay, I am going to take an article in the review section of the Wall Street Journal, Saturday and Sunday, September 15th and 16th. The article, the head article, is in this section, The Human Promise of the AI Revolution. Okay, I would suggest that really all of us should read it. I mean, read it carefully and see what is being proposed by these people inspired by socialism and communism. Read it carefully and look at it from a critical thinking standpoint. Now, I'm going to go through this article. I'm going to try to not make it tedious. So the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to read certain things about it, and then I am going to discuss a portion of what I have read, discuss it in terms of how it passes the critical thinking test, and then we can conclude, make some conclusions based upon what this information is trying to put forward. What are the concepts and the ideas, and what is the propositions that are trying to be put forward, or what is being proposed? Another way of saying that is, what exactly is the argumentation? Okay, so now if we get through with that in time, and then we will also talk about what I think is a really meaningful discussion of a technology and automatic or driverless cars. And there's a really interesting article about that. I've been following this with some interest as a member. I guess you could say that I'm a member of this high tech community. I am, in fact, a design consultant, and I have done design consulting in the past. One notable area in which I have done design consulting was on the early conceptual design of the Air Force Lockheed F-22 fighter. So I guess you could say that I'm a design consultant with a pretty good track record. Anyway, so I'm going to start this article. This article was written by a gentleman by the name of Kai-Fu Lee, and he is the chairman and CEO of Sinovation Ventures, which I'm not sure where it's located. It could be located in China. He was also the former president of Google China, and so I'm assuming that it's located in China. And I'm assuming that he is a Chinese national. Not exactly sure. His book, new book, The AI Superpowers, will be out shortly. Anyway, so here, let me start this article. Now, as a forewarning to all of you out there listening to this, forewarning, some of this stuff is going to sound a bit strange. Some of this is going to be a bit disturbing, how this gentleman manipulates reality to serve his own agenda. And it's pretty clear when we finish this what his agenda is. All right, the article starts off as this. Artificial intelligence, now I'm reading here, artificial intelligence is a technology that sparks the human imagination. Okay. Continuing, what will our future look like as we come to share the earth with intelligent machines? That's a question, right? Now, that's kind of a gotcha question because he is making the assumption here that we all understand what an intelligent machine is, and we all believe that not only are intelligent machines possible, but they are also among us already. All right, so let me continue. Our minds gravitate to extremes, to the sharply contrasted visions that have captured public imagination and attention, divided much of the technology community as ever. He says that as a longtime AI researcher and venture capitalist in China and the U.S., I observed these two camps across continents and over many decades. Now, he continues by talking a little bit esoterically about AI and machines and machine intelligence and super intelligent machines and stuff like that. I'm going to leave that to you to read. It's a bit difficult to follow what he's trying to say. Very, very poorly written, by the way. But let me move on to the third paragraph. And he says, the real battle that lies ahead will lack the apocalyptic drama of Hollywood blockbusters, but they will disrupt the structure of our economic and political systems all the same. He goes on to say that looming before us in the coming decades is an AI-driven crisis. Notice these terms he's using. In other words, a high technology-driven socio-economic crisis is what he is proposing. That is his proposition. Looming before us in the coming decades, he says, is an AI-driven crisis of jobs, inequality, and meaning. Okay, jobs, inequality, and meaning, whatever that means. Okay, let me continue. And it gets worse, but let me continue. The new technology will wipe out a huge portion of work as we know it, dramatically widening the wealth gap and posing a challenge to the human dignity of all of us. All right, let me stop there. Notice his proposition, right? Without anything to back it up, okay? He is proposing that there will become a widening wealth gap or the widening of the wealth gap and posing a challenge to the human dignity of all of us. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, he doesn't say, but it's carefully chosen words here to create the picture of a looming crisis for which he has a solution, by the way. All right, he does have a solution for this looming crisis. So he wants our attention and he wants us to believe that his solution is the proper solution. Let me continue. Despite these immense challenges, I remain hopeful, he says, if handled with care and foresight, this AI crisis. Now, he has already done something very, very clever here. All right. He has removed the word looming. Now he is calling it, because he has set us up, all right, now he has hooked our attention, and now he is calling it a AI crisis that is already with us. Let me continue. This AI crisis could present an opportunity for us to redirect our energy as a society to more human pursuits, taking care of each other and our communities, period. Now, okay, as if we're not, okay, and that's what his, that's, that is the assumption here, as if we are not doing so. And he is assuming that that consistent with his standards, we are not. He doesn't explain that. He's just making that proposition. Let me continue. To have any chance of forging the future, we must first understand the economic gauntlet that we are about to pass through. Okay, so notice this. He is talking about an AI crisis, no longer a looming crisis. Now it is an AI crisis and an economic gauntlet. All right. So let me turn the page here and get continue with this discussion. I know it's a bit hard. Okay, productivity gains from new technology almost always produce benefits throughout the economy, he says. But there's a catch here. What he's talking about is this. Even where AI doesn't destroy jobs outright. Now he makes, let me go back here a little bit. And I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but let me go back here a little bit. The AI revolution, he says, will be of the magnitude of the Industrial Revolution, but probably larger and definitely faster. He says that where steam engines only took over physical labor, AI can perform both intellectual and physical labor. And, he says, where the Industrial Revolution took centuries to spread beyond Europe and the U.S., AI applications are already being adopted simultaneously across the world. So, the Industrial Revolution, he says, were really only seen through three types of inventions: the steam engine, electrification, and information technology. Now he's way, way off on that one, okay? Neglecting air travel and a whole bunch of other inventions, but let's just leave it at that for the moment. He talks about AI. Now, I may have read a little bit of this, but let me repeat this, because I think this is central to his argument. He says, even where AI doesn't destroy jobs outright, however, it will exacerbate inequality. AI, he says, is inherently monopolistic. A company with more data and better algorithms will gain ever more users and data. This self-reinforcing cycle will lead to winner-take-all markets, with one company making massive profits while its rivals languish, period. All right, so let me talk a little bit about this rather amazing and disturbing paragraph. Now, he is talking about the looming economic crisis, which is monopolies. Now, where did that come from? Well, that came from essentially Communism 101. And that's exactly what Communism 101, or another way of saying that is Marxism. That's exactly what they proposed. They proposed that the Industrial Revolution, which was in full force in 1855, or let's say the 1850s, when Marxism was being developed as a socioeconomic and philosophical policy, Industrial Revolution was in full force, and they predicted, Marx, Engels, and others predicted that monopolies would dominate the socioeconomic landscape. Of course, they didn't. Their predictions never came true, but now they're making exactly the same prediction. They are using a different vehicle. They are using something related to high technology, or another way of saying that is digital technology, which is all about us. It's ubiquitous right now. But they are proposing that advancing high-tech digital technology will, in fact, be disruptive, and it will cause this reinforcing winner-take-all cycle with one company making massive profits while its rivals languish. He goes on to say, a similar consolidation will occur across professions. The jobs that will remain relatively insulated from AI fall on an opposite end of the income spectrum. CEOs, home care nurses, attorneys, hairstylists are all in safe professions, but the people in some of these professions will be swimming in the riches of the AI revolution, while others compete against a vast pool of desperate fellow workers. Okay. Now, this dire prediction would seem to be disturbing for those who do not know anything about the history of communism. For those of, and I will say those of us, because I have studied it as well as many others, to understand what we are up against, communism has been proposing this situation, this dire situation, this have and have nots scenario, where we have the bourgeoisie, the owners of the means of production, and we have the proletariat, and those without ownership and without ownership of the means of production. And that's exactly how communism started, by classifying people into those two groups, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, the rich and the poor, the owners and the workers, if you will. This is so predictable what this guy's trying to do, what he is doing. It's just amazing. This is just recycled communism, really. It's assuming we don't understand history at all, and it's just bringing back the same old arguments that were presented when the Industrial Revolution was in full swing back in the 1850s. It's exactly the same old argument. It's just amazing. All right. He says, vast pool of desperate fellow workers. Okay. We are now going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will continue with this rather disturbing article. Okay, welcome back to Treadle Up. Now, we're talking about this article about AI and disruptive technology and what's happening and this looming crisis and whatever that this author is trying to put forward, trying to create a proposition that this advancing technology will cause such severe social interruptions that there needs to be solutions in place already that are socialism in nature. So we need to impose more socialism on the culture because we have this looming crisis or this AI crisis that's happening already. He goes on to say, let me finish reading this rather disturbing article. He goes on to say that we can't know the precise shape and speed of AI's impact on jobs, but the broader picture is clear. This will not be the normal churn of capitalism's creative destruction, a process that inevitably arrives at a new equilibrium of more jobs, higher wages, and better quality of life for all. Many of the free market's self-correcting mechanisms will break down in an AI economy. He says that the 21st century may bring a new caste system split into a plutocratic AI elite and the powerless struggling masses. Now, that is a remarkable paragraph in the fact that it is disturbing to me at a very, very high level. He's making these assertions and he's making these propositions that are not being supported with any kind of evidence or any kind of quality reasoning. He is making them anyway. And the reason why he's making them is because he has an agenda. And the agenda is marching socialism and communism. The agenda is that the joys of communism will, in fact, save us from our own devices. So high technology is being imposed on us by ourselves. And the only way to save humanity, in his view, is to impose more socialism and communism within the social economic fabric of the society and therefore save us from ourselves. I know. Okay, he goes on to say that recent history has shown us just how fragile our political institutions and social fabric can be in the face of disruptive change. If we allow AI economics to run their natural course, the geopolitical tumult, I'm sorry about that, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that word, geopolitical disruption, I should say, of recent years will look like child's play. He goes on to say, on a personal and psychological level, the wounds could be even deeper. Society has trained most of us to tie our personal worth to the pursuit of work and success. In the coming years, people will watch algorithms and robots easily outmaneuver them at tasks they've spent a lifetime mastering. He says that I fear that this will lead to a crushing feeling of futility and obsolescence. He goes on to say, at worst, it will lead people to question their own worth and what it means to be human. Okay, so what he is doing here, he is painting a dire picture, extraordinary proportions here. This picture that he is painting is dire. It is threatening us to the very core of our existence as humans, and therefore we need to hire him to bring about solutions to this dire prediction or this looming catastrophe that we are about to face. So he says, all right, so what can be done? That's his question. All right, so let me continue. This grim vision is shared by many technologists in Silicon Valley and has sent them casting about for solutions. Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. All right, so let me continue. As the architects and profiteers of the AI age, notice the words he's using. These are not entrepreneurs. He's calling them profiteers of the AI age. They feel a mix of genuine social responsibility and fear of being targeted when the pitchforks come out. In their rush for a quick fix, many of the techno elites have seized upon the idea of a universal basic income, an unconditional government-provided cash stipend to allow every citizen to meet their basic needs. Now, what he is doing here, and let me, as I read the end part of this article, what he's doing here, he's doubling down on that, all right? But he is creating a new welfare state idea. And the welfare state idea he's creating, it's very interesting. And you could say, in a sense, it's clever. I suppose you could say that it is clever. I would say it's marginally clever. It's not particularly enlightened at all, but he's creating or developing the proposition that a new welfare state needs to be created, and he's centering it around this idea, which I will talk about now. He says, some form of guaranteed income may be necessary, but if we allow such support to be the end game, we will miss the opportunity presented by this transformative technology. Instead of simply falling back on an economic painkiller like the universal basic income, we should use the economic bounty generated by AI to double down on what separates us from machines, human empathy and love. Now, notice what he's doing. Basically what he wants to do is, within the context of the high technology segment of our economy, what he wants to do is he wants redistribution of wealth to occur. And he's supporting that by bringing into the argument virtue. He is a virtue profiteer, is what he is. And virtue profiteering is the heart and soul of communism and socialism. So keep that in mind. He used words like human empathy and love. He goes on to say, such a revolution in how we relate to work will require a rethink from all corners of society. In the private sector, instead of simply viewing AI as a means for cost cutting through automation, businesses can create new jobs by seeking out symbiosis between AI optimization and the human touch. This will be especially powerful in areas such as healthcare and education, where AI can produce crucial insights, but only humans can deliver them with care and compassion. He goes on to say, beyond the private sector, governments across the world need to start thinking now about how to use the riches generated by AI to rewrite the social contract and reorient our economies to promoting human flourishing. Notice what he wants to do. This is plain and simple redistribution of wealth. That's exactly what it is. This is Communism 101, And why does he actually think we are going to believe that this is a new idea? This is recycled communism, is what it is. It's cloaked in this notion that there is a looming socioeconomic catastrophe being caused by advancing technology. Okay, well, I know it's disturbing in the least, and it's important for us to understand it, because if we don't understand it, these people are going to win. All right, these people will win. They will win the argument. They will be able to redistribute wealth and enrich themselves in the process. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're trying to do. Let me continue. At the center of his vision, he says, at the center of this vision, I would suggest that there needs to be what I call the social investment stipend, a respectable government salary for those devoted to three categories of activities. One, care work. Two, community service. And three, education. These activities would form the pillars of a new social contract rewarding socially beneficial activities, just as we now reward economically productive activities. The idea is simple: to inject more ambition, pride, and dignity into the workforce on enhancing our communities. All right, as if this is not being done already. All right, he is wrapping himself around this whole idea of advancing humanity by suggesting that we cannot do that without the help of a central controlling authority. That is the only salvation that we have in our modern industrial society. He goes on to say that care work could include parenting or homeschooling and so forth and so on. He talks about service work, which could focus on much of the current work of nonprofit and volunteer groups and so forth and so on. So he's giving us some, you know, basically some third grade examples of what these people could do after having received this government stipend. The participation requirements of the stipend wouldn't be designed to dictate the lives of citizens. All right, so he's getting all confused and convoluted in his arguments here. He goes on to say that by requiring some social contribution to receive the stipend, we would foster a public philosophy far different from the laissez-faire individualism of universal basic income. Providing a stipend in exchange for participating in community-building activities carries a clear message: collective effort from people across society allowed us to reach this point of economic abundance. All right, that's the key word here. What he is proposing, once again, the joys of collectivism. These people believe in their deepest core of believing that they believe that collectivism is better than individualism. Individualism is flawed, and collectivism is the path toward a more virtuous society. That's what they believe. His last paragraph, all right, and then we will press on with some other stuff, but his last paragraph is this. Many difficult questions remain to be answered, of course, before we could consider implementing such a sweeping and idealistic policy. The urgency to create and the ability to pay for a far-reaching social investment stipend will depend on the pace and nature of AI's economic impact. But the humanistic values it embodies can serve as a guide while we navigate the treacherous waters that lie ahead. Okay, key words here. Navigate the treacherous waters that we lie that lie ahead. It's finally his final sentence, and I know this is painful. His final sentence is, we may yet be able to harness the full potential of both machines that think and humans who love. Okay, now that what is, isn't that a wonderful closing statement? All right, so he is now proposing that because of his deep insight into whatever, and he is proposing that we in fact adopt a socialism inspired policy, set of policies aimed at correcting this awful, disruptive socioeconomic condition that will be upon us momentarily. He calls it a new caste system split into plutocrat AI elites and the powerless struggling masses. Okay, this is, again, as I mentioned before, this is Communism 101. This is the bourgeoisie against the proletariat. And there's really nothing different. And there's nothing new under the world, particularly in the world of communism and socialism. There's nothing new. They are just recycling ideas and concepts and policies. It's just a recycling of what they had proposed many years ago, back in the early and mid 1800s, many years ago, they had proposed that. All right, so I'm going to take a short break, and then we will continue our discussion by talking a little bit about driverless cars. Okay, we're back on a special edition of Throttle Up. We're talking about artificial intelligence or high technology surrounding our advancing digital technological structure in this country. The buzzword is artificial intelligence. Also, another buzzword is machine learning. You notice that the last this article that I have been talking about wants to deal with the disruptive nature of this advancing technology and how socialism and communism can lead us into a world of utopia, and this belief in utopianism is really what it's all about. And people, these kinds of people, they believe that they have an answer to the ills of the human condition, and their answer is embodied in the world of communism and socialism, or, in other words, of the realization of utopia or utopianism. All right, so let's get back to some reality here as we have ventured off into this la-la land. Let's get back to some reality. Okay, the reality is this whole thing that we call artificial intelligence or machine learning and the driverless cars. This article was it's named "The Relentless Hype Collides with Driverless Reality." The bubble around the autonomous car turns into a trough of disillusionment as our self-driving future appears increasingly far off. The prediction, it says in this article, written by a gentleman actually he's a member of the Wall Street Journal. His name is Christopher Mims, And he is writing a section in the technology section. He says that the prediction that self-driving cars would all but end car ownership by 2025 now seems borderline ridiculous. All right. He's basically saying that this driver, the hype surrounding this is beyond belief, and it is mostly hype. Uber, he says, for example, recently closed its self-driving truck project and suspended road testing self-driving cars after one of its vehicles killed a pedestrian. Uber's chief executive even announced he would be open to partnering with its biggest competitor in self-driving technology. He goes on to say that people are considering the fact that while self-driving technology has potential, it will take a lot of hard work and time to get there. There are many reasons, he said, that self-driving technology has suddenly found itself in this trough of disillusionment. And chief among them is the technology. We don't yet know how to pull off a computer driver that can perform as well or better than a human under all conditions. Okay, so the article continues. Basically, what it says is that in something that I have been you know promoting in my work is that we have to be very careful when we believe that that this high technology can bring us these advancements in cognitive ability. We have to be very careful when we propose such a thing, because a lot of times it's mostly hype, and it is very, very difficult for us to replicate what goes on in the human mind. In fact, we don't even know what goes on in the human mind, and yet we are proposing that we can replicate such a thing in a machine without even knowing what exactly goes on in the human mind. We don't know how the human mind functions at the higher cognitive levels, such as reasoning and innovation and creativity. Okay, so that's our special... That's our special edition on AI. I hope you have enjoyed it, and we will repeat this because it is particularly important and a bit disturbing, as we have shown here on this show. May not have gotten this on other venues, but we are happy to be here, and we hope this has been informative to all of us out there, and we have enjoyed putting this particular show on, and of course we enjoy every Throttle Up radio show and podcast that we produce. It is our honor to be on Red State Talk Radio. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here, and I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.